This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Paul Osborne is standing by. Paul is, of course, the publisher of the Decatur Tribune. You can visit them online at decaturtribune.com. He is, of course, also twice elected mayor of Decatur by overwhelming majority, has served and done so much for this community over the years. Paul, it's good to have you with us this Thursday. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Finding every day challenging, and I think all of us are looking to get through this. And when we see a setback here and there, we just have to work harder. We have to work harder to educate people. Have to keep our own minds in focus of where we need to go and what we need to do, and stay the course.
You know, it's amazing to me. Yesterday, with 30 positive cases and the announcement that a fourth variant has now been discovered in the community, some of these variants are much more contagious, spread easier, the numbers among young people across the country, hospitalization rates going up here. It feels like this is this dance we've done over and over and over again since, March of last year. But yet there are still so many people who are against the vaccine or still deniers of this even existed after it's, killed more than 500,000 American citizens. Why do you suppose there is a doubling down of just don't want to hear it, don't want to do my part, don't want to get us back to normal?
It's baffling. It really is. Someone who works for me was at a local restaurant to pick up some food the other day, to pick up an order. And while she was standing there, she was the only one in there, two young men came in. And on the door it said, you must wear a mask. Two young men came in, no masks on. And she couldn't stand it, so she asked them, aren't you wearing a mask? Obviously they weren't. And one said, yeah, I have one in my pocket. And the other said, no, I don't even have one with me. And it's just like, I don't understand that. I don't understand what, over and over and over, it's been repeated. The mayor said it. You've said it. Everyone has told people, advised people, warned people until they're blue in the face. And still people walk around nonchalantly, almost defiantly, saying, not for me. I'm not going to. I'm not going to conform, but they conform to everything else, to traffic rules and everything else, well, most of the time. Just defiantly, apparently, both of these were young men, looked like young professionals, she said, but just absolutely, even with a sign staring them in the face, I'm sure they could read. And what do you think when you walk in and you don't wear any and you see someone else wearing one? It baffles me. That message just does not get through that, hey, this is dangerous stuff. You're in dangerous territory. And now with the variants, too, it's even more dangerous than it was. Get the message. Take it to heart. It could save your life and the lives of loved ones and others.
Yeah, and this will be a case study in human behavior for years and years to come, not just here in the United States, but around the world. How did it become political?
Yeah. I don't know, because maybe it's because everything's political anymore. I mean, the sun coming up is almost political. It's just we make everything political. Everybody takes a stand against something or for something, but it's a political stand. Fighting this virus isn't politics as usual. And I think there are a lot of deniers of this, and I think as you've pointed out so many times, they deny every step when every step that they've denied turns out to be logical. And the reality of it is you were wrong on that. This was all supposed to end once the election was over. And then once the inauguration, it just goes on and on. How do you keep denying this? And these aren't stupid people. A lot of these people that I know are professional people. They're smart people. But they're caught up in in the politics of it and what is said about it. And you're not going to tell me what to do. But in this case here, you better listen, because, as you mentioned, you have 500,000 people, that have suffered so far. And who knows the long-term effects of others who didn't pass away. this is something that we can only beat if we fight it together. And I don't know. And if we fight it together, we react to it in the very same way. And that's not like marching to the drum beat of the government, you know, in lockstep. It's taking the advice of professionals and the warning of professionals who have no reason at this point to say what they say or warn us about being careful and cautious, except the health of the public. What gain is there? I don't understand now at this point how this is still so political.
Yeah, I was looking at new polling data from Monmouth University, and they break out the nevers by party. Nearly 4 in 10 Republicans, that's, you know, 43%, actually not near, more than 4 in 10, say they would likely never get the vaccine. That has grown, by the way, since March, when that number was 36%. And the GOP number is double the 22% of independents and 8 times higher than the 5% of Democrats who say the same thing. So this thing falling down on political lines about the vaccine. The vaccine is here in Macon County. There are a number of ways that you can get it. I get my second dose next week. I cannot wait. I know that I might feel some flu symptoms or you know, whatever else that might come with that. But clearly the science and the data and the numbers show me that I am way better off doing that than not doing that.
Well, that's true. And, you know, you have to reflect also on flu shots. You know, some people, when they get their flu shots, they get a little sick afterwards. But they don't stop giving flu shots. I think there's an abundance of caution. And certainly with the Johnson & Johnson situation, the one death, I think, what, 5 or 6 people who had the shot, you know, got sick with the blood clots. But the odds of that happening to you, you know, are greater than being struck by lightning. I mean, that's, you don't think about when you walk outdoors being struck by lightning. And it's almost like any small thing, any small reason not to get vaccinated, just builds some ammunition for those people who say, no, never will do it. And see, I told you, people are getting sick. Yeah, but what'd they give, 5-6 million doses of this?
And I believe 7 million doses. There have been 6 people who have suffered from these blood clots, all women, all of a certain age group. So you wonder about the indicators there. And I'm sure we'll know this pause, some people saying a week, some people saying a little bit longer. It certainly doesn't help unless you take into the fact that this is how very careful they're being about the vaccines, that they're, if there's any danger, they're looking at it incredibly close. I mean, I guess there's some comfort there, but it certainly doesn't help the overall educational effort that this is the thing that we need to do.
Well, you're right. And I think also the fact, even though it doesn't help the cause of those who want everyone to be vaccinated, by the same token, it shows an abundance of caution. And, you know, even the tiny, in this case here, almost microscopic, and you don't want anybody to get sick, you don't want anybody to die from this, but, you know, you trace other shots, you trace other medicine and medications, you know, that were prescribed to people over the years. And I'm sure the death rate or side effects rate overall, much higher than this. But I think you see a government that is concerned, and I'm not talking about Democrat or Republican, I'm talking about health professionals that are concerned about providing the best possible vaccine to those who are betting basically their lives on this being effective, and taking every precaution and saying this is going to hurt us a little bit because people now, some will hesitate, but by the same token, we want to assure people we've done everything possible to make sure that even that small fraction of people who got sick and one who died, you know, that doesn't happen to anybody else. And I think it's admirable. I think it's admirable because they knew the fallout, they knew the flack they would take from this. By the same token, it's an assurance and a reassurance to all of us that great care is being made to make sure this is safe. And anyone out there who hesitates and says, I don't think that's safe, you know, I question that. I question you hesitating because of what happened here. I can tell you what's not safe is not getting vaccinated. I mean, we've seen the results of that. And your odds of getting COVID, your odds of dying COVID, from COVID in this country are much greater than getting the shot, you know, by far. And that's the comparison you should be looking at.
All right. Senator Dick Durbin was in town last week to talk a little bit about transportation priorities. What's your takeaway?
Well, it's good anytime. I think even back when I was mayor, you know, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, someone in position of leadership, when they pay attention to Decatur and when they talk about our needs, I was always there to welcome them, and Mike Madigan and everybody, because it's good for Decatur. And I'm happy to see Durbin having more contact with Decatur, having more contact with the media. I've received more releases and more information here at the newspaper from Dick Durbin and what's going on and how it's impacting Decatur probably in the last couple of months, you know, than I have in years. So it pleases me when I see that he's paying attention to us, because he's learning our needs. He's showing there's an interest in our community. He shows that our leadership here is getting some attention, and that's just good for Decatur, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. I don't care what your party affiliation is. When you have leadership, when you have people in Congress that represent you and represent the state, and they do have power, and they're looking at our community, that's only a good thing. It is.
And I know they're talking about President Biden's infrastructure plans, and a lot of these, you know, the Beltway, the Raised Bridge Project, the Brush College Road Improvement Project, you know, these have been discussions that have been in the works for a very, very long time.
A long time, yeah. It goes back years and years and years. So I don't know. There's a lot of skepticism on the part of, and it's, a lot of it's political. I think the money that we're talking about here is huge, but we're dealing at a time in this country's, in this nation's life, where you're going to have to do some things like this. You are, and we've waited too long. A lot of these should have been done a long time ago, and if it's going to put people back to work, if it's going to strengthen our infrastructure, going to help communities like Decatur, then it's time to start planning that and start moving ahead. There are details to be worked out, and certainly there's a fight to be fought over this in Congress. But by the same token, we need to start moving in this direction one way or the other, because there's so many needs in our community and across Illinois and across this nation that should have been met a long time ago, and now's the time to quit putting those off. We're at a turning point in our nation's history, and you know, we either go forward and go up and be brave about it and discuss it and debate it and move forward, or we fall back even further than we were.
All right. Finally, before we let you go, I was reading in your column today that you heard from former Mayor Terry Halley about the two-part scrapbook series you did on Fans Field. I don't know, you know, depending on the age of the person listening right now, you have a perception of Fans Field. You know, I am old enough to remember as a very young child going to the actual Fans Field to see the Decatur Commodores play. Most people probably don't have those memories, but an interesting conversation you had via email with former Mayor Halley.
Yeah, and I think there was an opportunity that we lost, because when Terry wrote me about this and shared his memories, and of course he's a big sports fan, he indicated, you know, that we had the opportunity, you know, to build another baseball park here, and Mayor Anderson at that time certainly was agreeable to that. But I think the council decided, unless there could be a guarantee there that they could get their money back over a period of time, that they wouldn't build a 5,000-seat you know, stadium or ballpark there. Well, a place in Indiana took up the challenge, and it's still productive over there, and I think it's a 7,000-seat stadium. So, but sometimes you make a good decision, and sometimes you make a bad decision. And that was one thing that Terry pointed out, that he remembered that we had an opportunity to keep minor league baseball here in Decatur and passed, and another community took advantage. And one final point, I think we need to realize that, you know, we have opportunities come to us, and sometimes, most of the time, they come to us one time. We need a council, we need a mayor, we need city staff and those in control to measure this and make sure you don't pass up an opportunity. Because if you don't take advantage of it, and if you don't use that money, particularly federal money, somebody else will. And I think that's something I always remembered in coming out of the mayor's office, that we're about Decatur. We represent Decatur. We fight for funds for Decatur and for our people here. And if we get an advantage in doing something, we'll have to measure it and look into it, but jump on it, take advantage of it, be enthusiastic about it, and prosper from there.
All right, Paul, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. Have a great day. The City Hall Insider, you can read all about the details. South Bend, Indiana, by the way, the town that did take advantage of that, and they have a 7,000-seat stadium that's still doing minor league baseball. Do you have any memories of Fans Field at all?
Yeah, so my grandparents lived not too far from there, and I never saw it as the big buildup or whatever's around it.
Yeah.
But my dad grew up in that neighborhood and talked to me about going and shagging balls and some of the players that, you know, that he watched play there that went on to big things. So it was a part of my life as a childhood through stories, but not personal.
Well, you can check out the scrapbook section of the Decatur Tribune and read more about it in the City Hall Insider column.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.